Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of D History. Thanks for joining us yet again for another action-filled episode. This week we've got plenty to give you, including all the latest Disney news, and I'll give you a review of my interpretation of Meet the Robinsons, which I was lucky enough to see in 3D. So that shall be something to look forward to. But to kick off the show, we'll go through our trivia answers from last week, which was from Bambi. We haven't been getting much feedback or answers to the question, so if you'd like to hear your name read out on the show, make sure you send us in your answers to the questions at disney.history@yahoo.com, and we'll make sure we read them out on air, even if they are wrong. So the first question from last week was, what famous author wrote the book on which Bambi is based? And the answer to that was Felix Salten. So that was Felix Salten. The second question was, what does Twitter padded mean? And that was a phrase used in the movie, and it means to have fallen in love. And the friend Owl tells Bambi, Thumper, and Flower that one day they could become Twitter padded. And the third and last question from last week was, how many children does Bambi have? And the answer was, Bambi has 2 children, twins. And yeah, that's the answers for last week's show. So hopefully those of you listening knew some of those answers. If not, better luck for this week's questions, which we'll get into now. This week we're going to take a feature look at Disney Adventures of the Gummy Bears, which was an American animated television series that aired across the world in the mid-1980s through to the early 1990s. It was created by the Walt Disney Company and premiered on NBC on September 14th, 1985, and then continued to air on ABC. The final episode of the series was aired on December 8th, 1990. The show's later, since it's finished airing, it's now seen, has been seen on the Disney Channel and Toon Disney. And the show was inspired by the gummy bear candies, so those little juicy gummy lollies that you can find at your candy stores. There was also a line of toys based on the show. There are 95 episodes in 65 shows, so some of the shows had 2 episodes in each show. I know in Australia, the Gummy Bears was a big favourite across kids. They used to air it every Saturday night. They had a Disney movie on Network 7, and Gummy Bears was an episode was shown before some of the movies each week. Also, there were Gummy Bear toys in the Happy Meals at McDonald's in Australia as well. So, some little bit of information there on the Gummy Bears. The main characters in the show were 7 bears, although there were some human characters in the show. They have an ability to bounce by drinking gummy berry juice. If the juice was consumed by humans, they would also gain temporary superhuman strength, although the effect would only work for one day. This was the reason why the bears kept their recipe secret. A fruit juice drink called gummy berry juice was for a short time retailed in the United Kingdom and Germany. So, it's off a spin-off from the show. Another interesting note is that apart from DuckTales and Gargoyles, Gummy Bears was the only show in the Disney afternoon generation of TV animation that had a series finale. All the other shows, such as Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and Tailspin, lacked a last episode, and for the most part ended on open notes. A DVD of seasons 1 to 3 was released in the United States in November 2006. It hasn't been released anywhere else in the world yet, I don't think. And there also hasn't been any mention of when seasons 4 to 6 will be released either. So if you're living anywhere else apart from America, you'll have to use places like Amazon.com to find those DVDs. And you'll also need to note that the format might not be compatible with your DVD player, so check that before purchasing. The Adventures of the Gummy Bears was Disney's first successful foray into television animation. It was released back-to-back with another show, The Wuzzles, which only lasted 13 episodes. At the time of its premiere, very few, if any, animated television series were on par with Gummy Bears' production values. It even exceeded the quality of much Japanese animation made it for the TV at that time. The show is often credited by animators and animation historians as having helped jumpstart the massive boom of television animation in the late 1980s through the 1990s. The show had a wide appeal for children, teenagers and parents who could all find some sort of meaning in the show to come to grips with it. And it had a range of history and mystery and fantasy all shown throughout the show. The show became the forerunner for Disney's famous Disney Afternoon time slot, which gave way to classics such as DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Tailspin and Gargoyles. Although shows created in its wake, such as the above, exceeded Gummy Bears' budgets and length, it is often credited as a sort of prototype for all the subsequent animation that followed. It should also be seen that this show has the most number of seasons for any Disney animated series. Even though it did not have the most total episodes, the show was approved for 6 straight seasons, something no comparable show has done ever since. Even some of the big non-Disney animated series such as Batman, X-Men, or Spider-Man cannot match this claim. Some shows like DuckTales have more episodes but fewer number of seasons. The significance of this is that there were new episodes contracted and made from 1985 to 1990. The show was also so successful in the UK that the episodes A New Beginning and Faster Than a Speeding Tummy were released as theatrical features in 1986 and 1987. So that will wrap up our feature on the Gummy Bears for today. Hopefully you learned a little bit about the Gummy Bears. I do have some trivia questions on the Gummy Bears, so I'll get into those now. Remember, if you have the answers to these questions, feel free to email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. We'll be happy to hear from you. So the first question for this week is, the character Princess Carla was named after which NBC president? I'll say that one again. Princess Carla was named after which NBC president? Question 2. Who sings the Dutch version of the title song? So the second question there is, who sings the Dutch version of the title song? Just on the title song there, I know that that song is widely known around the world nowadays and has cult classic status like the Golden Girls title song. So if you like that song, have a look on some shops like iTunes. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. It's the Gummy Bears theme song. It's a classic theme song, and I've known to hear it at trivia nights. So if you'd like to have a listen, see if you can find it somewhere on the internet. And the third question for this week is, what was the show called in Turkish? So I'm just asking, what's the show's title in Turkish? So if you know any of those answers or if you've got anything else to say, make sure you email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. We'll be happy to hear from you and we'll hopefully hear some feedback and read that out on the show next week. So now I'd just like to have a little talk about some of the Disney Buena Vista Records artists, because I've sort of become a little bit skeptical about the artists and the CDs that they're releasing. What sort of made me have a look into this was when I was watching Meet the Robinsons. I heard the Jonas Brothers sing a song, which is a cover of a 70s song. Can't remember what it was, but I went to have a look at their MySpace and heard that their release at the moment across the states is the year 3000. So many of you living in the US would probably have never heard that song before. But over here in Australia, and in particular in the UK, where the band who wrote that song released it, and it was a number one hit in the UK, I'm pretty sure, the band called Busted actually wrote and released that song. So if you think about it, there's a lot of these Disney artists who aren't releasing their own original material and just covers of artists from around the world who Americans have never heard of before. Another artist that I've looked into is Everlife. They've done a cover of Real Wild Child, which appeared on the soundtrack to the Disney movie The Wild. But they've also done a cover of the song I Could Get Used to This. This is their single release at the moment. That song is actually written and recorded by popular Australian artist The Veronicas. So, then I had a further look into their CD and found another song, Faded, which was written by The Veronicas, but was released by the third Australian Idol as her second single, Faded. So the song Faded and I Could Get Used to This are both songs that are covers, as well as Real Wild Child. So I'm not too sure how they're being promoted in the US or what's being said about them, but if there's anyone in the US who's listening and can fill me in on this, I'd like to know, because it is a little frustrating when you hear covers of songs that you think are quite good, and then, I don't know, I'll shut up now. But if you've got any further information on these releases and would like to let me know, email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. Love to hear from you, and we'll have a further talk about that if I get any feedback. All right, so I guess we can get into Disney news. Last week, it was announced that Finding Nemo on Ice will be touring around Australia the end of June, during July. So that's during the school holidays for Australian children. If you'd like information on the tickets to that show and more information, go to Ticketek, TICKETEK.com. Pretty sure that's how you spell it. But yeah, Ticketek.com. And there's all the information there. There's VIP ringside tickets selling for around $50. And then I think the furthest away seats are ranging in the $20 mark. So if you'd like to get along to see Finding Nemo on Ice, then check out Ticketek.com, or you can access that through disney.com.au. Other news in Disney this week is the Disney Channel is going to be launched in Turkey. It'll launch from April 29th. And it follows the launches of Disney Channel in Poland and South Africa. And it's in the line of the Walt Disney Company's strategic focus on expanding its businesses and brands into international markets. So that should be good for people in Turkey. They'll get their own dedicated Disney Channel on their cable network over there. Not sure how their TV formats work over there. But, yep, good luck to the Turkish, and hopefully they'll get a lot more Disney shows over there for those people over there. Other Disney news this week is, as I mentioned last week, Meet the Robinsons has been released, and it was released in a 3D version around the world, and it grossed $7.1 million to become the largest digital 3D opening in history. So that's pretty huge for Disney. And the 3D accounted for 28% of the film's total 3D gross, which was $25.1 million. And it came in second at the American box office, as I suspected last week, behind Blades of Glory, which is featuring Will Ferrell. That took $33 million. So it only ended up taking not that much more. It was about $8 million more than Meet the Robinsons. So pretty good effort from Disney to take good $25 million on a Disney animated feature that doesn't have the title of Pixar with it. Other news in Disney this week is that on September 4th, a Disney Princess Enchanted tale entitled Follow Your Dreams is going to be released. It's an all-new movie featuring princesses from two of Disney's most famous films, Jasmine from Aladdin and Aurora from Sleeping Beauty. So it comes with lots of special features and bonus games on the DVD, including Aurora's dress-up and Find Sahara. So we'll have to wait till that comes out on DVD on the 4th of September 2007, but it'll be available in the US for $26.99 and in Canada for $29.99 from Walt Disney Home Entertainment. So I'm not sure on release dates for around the world, but we'll see what happens. You can pre-order that from July 24th, I'm pretty sure. But check that out on the internet if you'd like to have a look at that. In other news, it's been widely skepticised that there could be a further Pirates of the Caribbean after At World's End premieres later on this year. Johnny Depp has said that he would like to play Captain Jack Sparrow again in a fourth, fifth, or even sixth movie. And Orlando Bloom has also said that he'd love to do another movie. Nothing has been officially confirmed on this Pirates of the Caribbean, but maybe once the movie premieres in May, we could have some further news on whether there'd be any more movies, which would be great for Pirates fans out there. During the theatrical release of Monster House, which was directed by Steven Spielberg, I'm pretty sure last year, we saw that ad, because that was in 3D as well, we saw the ad for Meet the Robinsons and Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas in Disney Digital 3D. When I saw Meet the Robinsons, again, we saw the ad for Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, and it looks like that will be released in October this year, re-released, I should say, because it has been released in 2D format. So it will include a six-minute stop-motion film that was made by Tim Burton in 1982, which tells the story of Vincent Malloy, a youth who imagines that he's like Vincent Price. The black and white short is based on a poem written by Burton, which was influenced by Price, and who also narrated the film. So that is titled Vincent and will be shown in Disney Digital 3D prior to The Nightmare Before Christmas when that's released in theatres in October. So look out for that. So I'd say to be released around Halloween. So now I'd say we'll have a little talk about Meet the Robinsons, which I was fortunate enough to see in 3D. Going into the movie, I was expecting great things because you always expect great things from the new Disney movies. And I wasn't really disappointed. The movie started off a little slow. There's a lot of characters that you've got to engage with, and a lot of people say that's where the movie sort of falls off. But I think the brightness and enthusiasm of all the characters makes the movie what it is. I had lots of laughs. It was really interesting. Before the movie, there was a 3D version of the 1953 Donald Duck short Working for Peanuts. It includes Chip and Dale and Donald Duck and a big elephant. And it's amazing to think that they had the abilities to create 3D movies back in the 1950s. And while it wasn't as exciting as Meet the Robinsons, it was interesting to see that sort of production. As I said before, the movie starts off a little slow, but once the main characters leave present time and head to the future, it sort of becomes more colourful, upbeat, exciting, and there's nothing you can really complain about. I mean, the villain, the bowler hat guy, isn't really scary at all. He's a villain, but he's not a total bad guy like some of the villains in previous Disney movies. And the cast, their voices all add to the characters and the light and colour of the movie. The end of the movie is really sad. It's not sad, but it's sad, and it gives it that special Disney touch that you get used to from Disney movies. And it's a great family movie, great to take the kids along to it. The 3D version definitely brings out the fantastic animation a lot more than the 2D version would, even though I haven't seen the 2D version. But I would recommend seeing it in 3D if you do get the chance. Plus, you get to keep the 3D glasses, which is always exciting. The song sung by Rob Thomas for the soundtrack is quite good. And it's also got the All-American Rejects, the Jonas Brothers, and great score by Danny Elfman. So it's pretty exciting there with that movie. Considering the movie isn't associated with Pixar, I think it was really good. I mean, I really liked Chicken Little, and there was a lot of people who didn't like Chicken Little, but I think John Lasseter, who's come in and taken over Disney since the production on this movie started, I think he made considerable change to the movie, and the changes, I don't know what they were, but they were obviously for the better, because the movie really did shine for me. Out of 10, I'd possibly give it 7.5 to 8 stars out of 10. It's a great movie, and I highly recommend it if you can go and see it at the movies. Otherwise, I can't wait for it to come out on DVD. It'll be a great release, and looking forward to all the special features. So that'll about wrap this week's show up. Sorry that we've gone a little overtime this week. Hopefully you're able to listen to the whole show. If you've got any suggestions on what sort of Disney factor you'd like us to look at next week or the week after, do feel free to email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. Love to hear some feedback. It'd be fantastic. Otherwise, hope you have a great week, and hopefully the audio and production of this episode's a lot better than the last one. Sorry about the problems we had with that one last week again. So we'll see you next week, and make sure you keep living the magic.